Good morning, guys. Let's get started. It's 10:15. My name's Matthias Baer. I'm a program manager on the Windows Phone Wallet team, and I'm pretty excited to be here talking to you guys about this feature because I think it brings a lot of really great functionality to users and to developers. Since it's a brand new feature, I just wanted to start by taking a step back and talking about why we decided to build this functionality into Windows Phone 8. So as we looked, over the last few years, we were noticing a bunch of trends. People were using cash less and less. More and more payment terminals were actually starting to accept contactless payments. We were also seeing more and more apps on mobile devices that let users manage the digital versions of their physical wallet items and related items. So think, bank apps, airlines, coupons, that sort of thing. We're also seeing startups that were innovating in the mobile payment space. So think, Square, Level Up, those sorts of firms that were doing really cool things to let people both accept payments on their mobile devices and make payments with their mobile devices. And then one thing that isn't really a new trend, but people love saving money, but they don't want to end up with George Costanza's wallet, 2 inches thick, stuffed with coupons and loyalty cards. And so we knew that the time was right to build a feature that would help people organize this content on their phone. And so we started out that process by looking around other features in Windows Phone to see if we had, similar problems elsewhere that we had solved. And we had. In Windows Phone 7, we had introduced the concept of hubs. And what hubs are is, these UI features that bring together similar information all in one place. So when I want to find a photo, I don't have to remember if it's on my camera roll, or it's in my Facebook app, or it's on my SkyDrive. I know that I can always go to the photo hub and have it there. On the extensibility side, I also know that if I want to edit one of those photos, I can find my photo editing apps right in that hub. And so we took that same hub approach to designing the wallet. It's a single place where users can bring together, payment instruments, membership and loyalty cards, boarding passes, coupons and deals, and there's an extensibility model where ISVs can actually talk to their wallet items. So, if I was an outdoor retailer, AdventureWorks, I can have my membership card there and keep the balance updated and keep it interesting and engaging for users. And it's another entry point to my app. Whenever I bring up the word wallet to different people, I'm always surprised by the fact that it means different things to different people. And one of the key, one of the more frequent things that people think when they hear wallet is NFC and tap to pay. And so I wanted to just spend one slide saying wallet is not NFC. So there are two different stacks. The kind of pure wallet functionality is all about providing this hub that brings together all my cards and deals in one place. And this extensibility model where all those retailers and airlines and banks can integrate with the wallet. And it's also the place where I manage my payment instruments for the app and music store. So when I go to buy an app now, I'm actually selecting payment instruments from my wallet. Over on the right side is the proximity stack. So some of you might have already gone to the networking talk that covered some of this. It's a shared stack between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. And it lets you do really cool things like tap to share. So picture touching two phones together, or a phone and a Windows 8 tablet, or even your Windows phone and Android phone, and exchanging information. So that could be URLs, contact cards, photos, things like that. We're also building out tap-to-pair functionality. So what that does is it uses NFC to establish a Bluetooth or a Wi-Fi session. So picture having a Bluetooth-enabled speaker where you can just touch your phone to it and the music starts playing. You don't have to dig through your Bluetooth settings to establish the pairing. And it also supports tag reading. So that's, you know, tapping your phone on a smart poster, a sticker, a tag, something like that. And your phone performing some sort of action, so whether that's opening a website or launching an app, that sort of thing. The proximity API is available on all Windows phones that support the NFC hardware. And then in the middle here, where these two technologies meet, is where tap-to-pay is supported. And so that is something that the wallet supports, but it does require both special hardware, so that's a secure element chip that's on the SIM card, and it requires some remote management. And so as part of the Windows Phone 8 launch, we're really excited to be working with Orange in France on a trial where you can tap to pay. And then, of course, we're working with other mobile operators to roll that out elsewhere. But really what this talk is going to focus on are those items in green, the pure wallet extensibility. And so the next thing I want to do is actually walk you through what the user experience looks like. So I'm going to switch over here. Some of you might have seen us use this internal tool before. So what you're seeing here is actually this phone projected on the monitor, and it's drawing, you know, little yellow dots where my fingers are touching. And so what we have here is my Windows Phone start screen. So again, you know, I have my live tiles set up, my Facebook friends, my LinkedIn contacts. My wife and I have a family room where we share shopping lists, calendar, that sort of thing, and an embarrassing photo of our Halloween costumes, Bee and Beekeeper, in case you're wondering. And I also have, you know, weather, commute info, things like that. But so I'm going to launch the wallet here. And what you'll see is that there's two panes. There's a pane that stores all my payment instruments, my membership cards, things like that. And then I have a pane with all my deals and coupons, prepaid offers, that sort of thing. So the first item here in my all pane is a membership card from AdventureWorks. And in some of the code samples I'm going to get into, we'll actually be developing some of the AdventureWorks functionality. You'll see that it's showing me I have a balance, and it's also promoting some deals up here. It also has, you know, other information like customer service phone number, what the billing information is, and so on. The next item here is AT&T account. And so what that is my MO billing account. So when I go to the store to buy an app, I can charge it to my bill. You'll also see I have a Visa here, and then some new payment methods that we're supporting in the store as part of the Windows Phone 8 launch. So there's the Microsoft account, which is a prepaid account that I can add money to. And we're also supporting PayPal in many markets. And we're supporting Alipay in China. And then I have another bank card, as well as a frequent flyer card. Over on the deals side, there's a few sources for deals. So we have integration with Bing. So in experiences throughout the phone, and I'm going to show you one of those, you know, but when I'm doing a search or I'm using the new Search Explorer feature, if there's a deal there, I can save it straight into my wallet. The other source is through extensibility. So for example, here I have an AdventureWorks coupon for 20% off bikes, and it includes a QR code and a link back to the app. If I scroll down here, you'll see that I also have a Groupon that I bought yesterday. And so from here, again, there's a link straight into the app. And so you're getting an exclusive sneak preview here of new Groupon functionality that is not out yet. But they've integrated their app with the wallet. And so from the wallet, I can get to that Groupon very easily and present it to get my free ice cream. So next, I'll show you some of that Bing functionality. And what I'm going to do here is launch the Local Scout. For those of you unfamiliar with Local Scout, it shows me, you know, what's near me. There's different categories for food and beverage places called Eat and Drink. There's things to see and do. Hopefully our network cooperates today. I've been having a few issues this morning. And as part of that, some of those establishments can offer deals. So, you know, looking through the list here, the first one, Round Table Pizza, has $5 off any large or extra large pizza. So that sounds pretty good to me. If I tap on that, I'm going to get more details about this restaurant. So opening hours, address, I can find my way there. I can switch over to see what, you know, what people have said about it. When I scroll down here, I can get to details about that deal. And what you'll see here is there's a save to later verb. When I click that, it's going to save it to my wallet. And now that it's in my wallet, I can tap to see it in there. And so you'll see this Round Table Pizza coupon that's now saved in there. The last thing I want to show you is the integration with the store. So I'm going to launch the store, find a game here. The featured game is Gerbil Physics. I'll use that. I'll click on that. And now when I say buy, what it's going to do is let me pick from my wallet payment instruments. And so you'll see, you know, the last account I used was my AT&T bill, but I can tap to switch payment methods. And what's going to happen is it's going to show me the subset of those wallet items that are set up for store payments. And then I can pick a different one and use that. So that gives you, you know, a sense of some of the end user functionality. What I want to do next, actually, is dive straight into a code demo. And so, unfortunately, the way this USB video out tool works, I can't do that and work with Visual Studio. So we're going to switch to using the emulator from now on here. And so what I have, what I have over here is this AdventureWorks app. And, you know, it lets me manage my membership as well as see my coupons. And so you can imagine these coupons coming from a web service, and they might be generic coupons of the week or the day, or they might be targeted specifically to me as a user since they know who I am. And so, you know, I like biking. I'm going to click on that one. And there's this button here that's Save to Wallet that is not yet implemented. So what we're going to do is we're going to implement the functionality to save that coupon into the wallet. So I'm going to open up Visual Studio here. And first thing I want to show you, you know, what my solution looks like here. So I have three projects. One is the application itself, so what we were just looking at. The next one, mock web service, that's mimicking an actual web service. So I'm just returning some random coupons rather than actually going out to a web service. And then the last one is a wallet agent. And I'll get much more into much more detail about the wallet agent later. So I have the app manifest open here for the AdventureWorks app. And I just wanted to quickly show you the capabilities section, because there's a few new capabilities related to wallet. And so you'll see there's three here. IDCAP wallet is something that you need to use if you're doing any sort of wallet integration. And anyone can use it. And then the other two are a bit special. Payment instruments does require you to have some special permissions to be able to submit your app to the store. So anyone can develop with it, but you need some special permissions to submit it. If you are, you know, a payment method issuer like a bank, there's documentation in the SDK about how to get that permission. And then lastly is the secure element capability. So that right now, you know, is being used by ISVs in France as part of the Orange trial. as we roll out to more markets, that'll become more relevant to more of you. So I'm going to dive into my coupon view page. And so this here is the method that's called when I click that button. And right now it's just showing a message box saying that it's not yet implemented. And so we're going to change that. And so the way that the application works right now is it's calling out to that mock web service, and it's retrieving a coupon class object. And so coupon isn't a wallet class. It's something specific to this app. What is a wallet class is deal. So I'm going to say deal equals new deal. We have overloaded constructors here. One of the things that we spent some time thinking about when we were building out these APIs was how we should identify objects. So we wanted to have an easy method. So there's an empty constructor where we'll create an ID for that object for you. But we also knew that a lot of the wallet integration would happen where you're pulling down something from your web server and you already have an ID for that item. So rather than having to manage that mapping, we actually let you pass that ID to us. So I'm going to do that. Now I want to set some properties for that deal. And so you'll see here, as the IntelliSense comes up, there's a lot of fields. So you know, when you first start playing with the walled APIs, it might look a little intimidating to see such a long list. But these are just mostly optional fields that let you provide as much information or as little information as you want. So, you know, if you want to have a merchant address and phone number, you can, but you don't have to. What we do want to do, though, is have a main display name for that item. And so that maps to the app's internal current coupon.title property. Rather than watching me type out the others, I've pre-typed those. I'm going to just drag them in and talk about them. So description is a longer field that shows some more details about what that deal is. I want to show the barcode image because my store actually supports QR scanning. So then the customer can just easily go to their wallet, pull up that deal, and redeem it. I want to set an expiration date. And I'm going to set my name as the merchant name for that deal. So next thing I'm going to do is save it. And then the last couple of lines here are specific to the app. This first line is just going to toggle that button. So where it said save to wallet, now that it's saved, it's going to show remove from wallet. And then we'll just show a message box again to make sure that that's saved OK. So I'm going to run that now. It's going to launch my app. I'm going to go back into coupons, back into that same 20% off bikes coupon. I'm going to click Save to Wallet. That's now going to call that code. The deal was saved. And so let's go launch the wallet just to see what that looks like. So this is my first time launching the wallet on the emulator. And here we go. There's that coupon that we saved. And when I click on it, I see that QR code, the expiration date, the details. So hopefully that gives you a sense of, you know, how easy it is to get started with wallet integration. Some of you might already have apps that have this sort of data locked away in your app. And so if you're interested in helping people find that, it's really easy to do. Thank you. So I'm just going to talk a bit about the different object types that we have as part of the walled APIs. So the ones along the bottom row are the ones that you can instantiate from your app. So we have payment instrument, wallet transaction item, and the one we just played with, deal. Diving into each one, so payment instrument, I mentioned there's a special capability, but anyone can play around with it. It's just when it comes to app submission, that we want you to have some special permissions. If you are an issuer of actual payment cards, like a bank, What we also let you do is tag your app with your issuer identification number. So that's the first six digits of your credit or debit card number. And what that means then is that as the user is adding their Chase Visa card into their wallet to maybe buy something in the store, we can use that first six digits to look up the Chase app and then suggest that app to the user. Other things to note, it's a really rich schema. So we let you have transaction history. That's another pivot over on the right. Balance, available credit, all sorts of fields. If you're finding that those fields aren't suiting your needs exactly, we also have custom fields. So what those are is you can set the label and the value for a property that displays as part of that item. So if, for example, Contoso credit card had some sort of rewards points, I could have a field labeled, rewards balance with information about it in there. Wallet transaction item is, the most flexible object type that we have, and it basically is used for, membership, loyalty cards, boarding passes, tickets, that sort of thing. As far as redemption goes, in non-NFC markets, you can use optical codes, so whether that's a QR code or an MS tag or a barcode. It's often useful just to have, some sort of text-based ID as well. So if you're an airline and you want to have your frequent flyer card in there, you can just expose the frequent flyer number for really quick reference, for example. It has a lot of similar fields to the payment instruments. So you can have transaction history. And, transaction history isn't just for, loyalty purchases and redemptions. Think of a library. It could have your list of checkouts, for example. And of course, you can have custom fields again. So if you wanted to show the gate or the boarding time, you can implement that with a custom field. And then lastly, deal. You guys are familiar with this one since we just created a deal. And it also supports custom fields if you have uses for that. And this is the one item type for which you don't need, for which the user doesn't need to acknowledge when you're saving it into the wallet. So as you noticed in that example, when I hit the Save to Wallet button, it just went and saved. For payment instruments and wallet transaction items, the way you save those is through a task where we do actually show UI saying, hey user, Contoso Bank wants to save this card into your wallet, is that okay? And they can say yes. And I'll show you what that looks like a bit later as well. The way that access to the wallet items is controlled is through something that we internally call app to item linking. And there's three different ways for that to happen. The first way is what we just saw in that example. The app saved that item into the wallet, and then we'll automatically link it. And what that means is that the app has full read, update, delete access of that wallet item. It also means that within the wallet item, there is that open app verb through which the user can get back into your app. The second way is through the IIN matching. So for payment cards, if the issuer tags their app with their first six digits of the card number, then the user can link their card kind of after the fact to that app. And the third way is for other cards, membership cards, passes, that sort of thing, the user can link your app, again, after the fact to a walled item. In those later two cases where you're not the one saving it into the wallet, but rather it's the user saved it and they're linking to your app, we have a property that'll come in handy. It's called isAcknowledged. And basically, that's your way of detecting if something is new to you. So when you query for wallet items, there might be a new one, and you'll spot that by seeing that isAcknowledged is false. And then you can do some processing on it, like setting a new logo, filling in some fields, and then setting that bit to say that, yep, you know about that new item. Once your app is linked to an item, then we support something called deep linking. So the open app link by default, it's just going to launch to your app's homepage. Well, that isn't that interesting, right? So if you picture Contoso Bank, and the user has a Contoso credit and a debit card, what you can do is supply a navigation URI so that if the user's looking at their Contoso credit card and they click open app, you can be smart about opening straight to a page of details about that credit card. So you don't have to, you know, land them on the homepage with an ATM finder when you know that that's not what they're interested in. There's a few other opportunities in the UI for you to have deep integration with your app. So another example is that that message box to the right of the logo there. And so earlier, you know, I showed you an example where that was showing a relevant deal to the user. And so when you click that, you can show details about a deal. But you could also see it being useful for, you know, more, I'll say, system messages like, hey, you have a bill due, for example, or your gate change, things like that. And so the other, there's one other place where you can do that, and that's in transaction history. So again, if we use the library example, where I have a list of books showing that the user checked out, I can provide a unique navigation URI for each of those items. And so when the user clicks on a certain book, we can take you deep into the library app and have you rate that book or renew it, things like that. And so that takes me to my favorite feature, which is wallet agents. And so in Windows Phone 7, we introduced the concept of live tiles. And the really cool thing about live tiles is that they give you a sneak into the app without you having opened the app. So for example, on my homepage, when I was showing you my phone earlier, I had the current weather for Seattle, and it flipped, and it showed the radar map. And so I know that if I want to find out more information, I can click on it. But it's not just an icon that gets stale over time. And so what we're seeing with live tiles is that users are actually more engaged with the applications than they are otherwise. And with the wallet, you can think of the wallet as another surface area for you to reach out to users and show some information that's interesting to them, that's relevant to them, that keeps them thinking about you, even if they haven't launched your app yet. And then with all those deep link entry points, it's really easy for them to get into your app when they want to see and do more. The way we light that up is through wallet agents. And so what those are headless pieces of code that are part of your app. And so when the user goes and looks at their item, so when I open my Contoso credit item in this example, we're going to call into your app, and we're going to say, hey, app, you can update your item now. And you'll run in the background, and you can make any changes. You know, the full API is available to you, and you can keep it updated. So common things that you might update are things like balance, transaction history, that sort of thing that changes more often. But again, you do have the full access that you'd have from your app, from the agent. A couple of things to note around developing agents. One is, as with other agents on Windows Phone, like audio agents, you are a bit restricted in terms of the resources that you're allowed to use. And then the other thing is that since you can't show UI from your agent, you do have to authenticate silently. And so the way most developers that I've worked with implement that is just that when the user launches your full app for the first time, you're signing in there, and then they're saving a token that the agent then uses when it's talking to the web service. And then they can get down the user's information to the phone. So I think that that functionality is really powerful and cool, and so what I want to do is show you how to implement an agent. So I'm going to switch back here, stop debugging, and what we're going to do is we're going to save a membership card into here, and then we're going to create an agent for that membership card. So I'm going to launch my AdventureWorks app and go to the membership tab. And so I don't have a membership card set up yet. And so I'm just going to do that really quickly. See, someone's trying out NFC. I like to hear that. So I'm going to join the AdventureWorks membership program. And now there's this button to save to wallet. And so I mentioned earlier that payment instruments and wallet transaction items, they do get a user prompt from the wallet when an app is trying to save them. And so we'll see that when I click this button. And so all it's saying is that AdventureWorks wants to save this item, and the user has a chance to review what it's about to save, or they can just go ahead and save, which I'm going to do. And so now when I go back to the wallet, in my all list, I have this AdventureWorks item. Now, you know, it's saved a bunch of data in here, account info, issuer website, billing phone number, logo. But if this is just static data, it's really not that interesting, especially not when I have a balance on there that's just going to be stuck until the next time I launch the AdventureWorks app. So what we want to do is we want to create an agent that's going to update that balance when the user looks at that item. And what we also want to do is implement a message here to the right of the logo that advertises some deals or coupons to the user. So I'm going to jump into Visual Studio here and go to my wallet agent. And so a couple of things that I want to point out here is that this is derived from wallet agent. And then we override this method called onRefreshData. And this is the method that the wallet calls when the user's looking at your items in the wallet. We have a bit of logic around that. So for example, if you had two items in your wallet that both show balance, when we call onRefreshData, we actually pass in the arguments calling out those two items, basically saying, hey, the user can see balance right now, and so you'll want to update both those items. Versus if the user just, you know, clicks on one of your items, there'll only be one in this array. But the safe way to implement this is to just loop through, because the wallet is asking you to update all those items that are passed through the arguments. And so what we're going to do here is we're going to call out to our mock web service. And we're going to update the loyalty balance. And you know, this isn't dollars or euros, it's points. And we're going to assign that string to display available balance of that card that got passed in. And so that's going to update our balance. Then the next thing we want to do is we want to get a deal for the user. So again, internally to this app, I have this coupon class. And so I'm going to get a new coupon by calling out to my mock web service. Now that I have that coupon, what I need to do is set that as the status message. So I'm going to say card.message equals, and I'll have a little intro, you know, tap here to clip this coupon, and then I'm going to show the coupon title. Then it's not that interesting if the user can't take action on it. So the next thing I'm going to do is assign a navigation URI. So this is one of those deep links I was talking about. And what I'm going to do here is navigate to the coupon view page. And I'm going to pass in that coupon's ID. So again, that's my internal ID from my internal object. And then I'll know which page to show the user. Since we've made changes to that card now, we need to save it. And then the last thing we need to do as part of a wallet agent is to tell the wallet that we finished running successfully. And so that's what notify complete does. And with that, we're done. So what I'm going to do now is deploy that back to the emulator. And for wallet items that implement an agent, we have this refresh menu item here. So that's a way, you know, for a user that really wants to force a refresh, they can do that. So I'm going to click that. And there it is. So you'll see the balance went down by 5. And we now have a deal that we're offering users. Thank you. If I were to force refresh again, you know, we'll see a new random deal. Balance keeps going down by 5. And what I want to show you now is that deep link. So for the message, we set a navigation URI deep into our app. So when I click this, I don't land on the app homepage. I land on the page for that deal. And from here now, the user can save that to the wallet. And I showed you a bit of the Groupon functionality that isn't out yet. I have seen the functionality for what PayPal's working on, for example. They're using agents. It's really cool stuff. I think if you're going to invest in building a wallet app, which you should, agents really are the way to go because they keep your data relevant and up to date. Having said that, I do want to stress that all the functionality we've talked about is additive. You never have to make a choice between, well, do I build a Windows Phone app or do I build a Windows Phone wallet app? The wallet functionality is just additional. And so your app still shows in the store along with all the other apps. When a user downloads and installs your app, it still shows in the list of all apps. It's just that there's extra entry points in the wallet now. And so if, say, you already had a Windows Phone 7 or 7.5 app, you could get started very quickly by just saving your items. So say you're an airline, you just save your frequent flyer card into the wallet. It gives the user an easy place to access their frequent flyer card number. It gets your logo and, you know, customer service phone number information in a place where the user knows to look for it. They don't always have to hunt for your app. And, you know, that's a good starting point. If you want to take it a step beyond that, though, then you add support for agents. And now you can have dynamic data in that wallet item and really keep it up to date. And then finally, as secure NFC rolls out to your market, that's just additional functionality that you'd add to your existing wallet app and agent. And of course, you know, some back-end integration with the management service. So in closing here, I hope you were able to see, you know, why I'm excited by the wallet. I think it's great functionality for end users. It brings together all these digital versions of their physical goods into one place. And with those agents, you can really make your items interesting and engaging to users. And so what that's going to do is drive users to come to your app more. It'll also help with app discovery. So again, I talked about, you know, for banks, they can tag their apps with the issuer identification number. For other, like, retailers and merchants, if your app is tagged as a wallet app, it'll show as part of the add-to-wallet flow within the wallet, so it's an extra place for people to discover your app. And then with those deep links that I talked about, it's really easy to build this integrated UI between your app and your items in the wallet. So if you're, you know, a deal provider, a bank, credit union, airline, ticket provider, any of these sorts of industries, I strongly encourage you to build in wallet integration to your Windows Phone app. And just this week, we released a couple of samples up on MSDN. I have some quick links that you can check out there. The code that I showed here today is sort of based off that first one, the deals one. And so you can explore those on your own. And so I wanted to introduce one person here. This is Brian Cross, if you want to give a wave. So he was the lead developer for the wallet extensibility. And you know, we have some time here to answer questions. And then Brian and I are also going to be downstairs in the Windows Phone booth for, you know, about 2 hours after the talk in case you have questions there. So thanks for coming, and I'm really looking forward to seeing all of your wallet apps in the future.